Chris, you know the lyrics of this song?
Yep.
What are they?
Put it, butter, put it in my butt, put it in my butt.
Put it in my butt. Yeah. Those are written by Randy Newman.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Randy Newman.
Yeah, love him.
Yeah. He originally
writes
wanted
a song
to,
about everything.
Yeah, he wanted to do this like corny acoustic thing, and I was like, hey, Mike and I are more of a, we've got a modern vibe to ourselves.
The piano was his instrument, actually.
Yeah, so we have this video game music. Maybe you can talk about how sucking ass is cool. And you seem like a guy who's really into the edge of music. Not a guy who's just like, I have a bug, give it a hug. I like my... It's not you. No disrespect to the great songwriter.
I guess, I don't know. It's faith, I love is a place. Fuck Randy Newman.
I put it in my hand. I took it to the can. I made it to the band. I went.
See, it sounded like you were going in a jerk off direction there.
Yeah.
You put it in your hand. And you took it to the can. So it's like, okay, you're halfway there. Then what?
And now I'm in Amsterdam. Jerking off on a clam.
Oh, see,
now you know.
Now
what
you're beating him over the head with him.
No. He's getting lucky in Amsterdam, dude. I'm hungry for a big old juicy lunch. That's Toy Story. He doesn't have to explain himself to you.
Jesus Christ. This Dragon Toy Story. It's great.
No, I really like Randy Newman and Toy Story.
We need to start doing our intros first, I think, before we run out of steam.
I want to make you happy, Michael.
Ooh, it's weird.
I want to make you so proud of me, Daddy.
That's so weird.
Podcast, Daddy.
That's gross.
I was honestly planning this thing where I was going to call you Podcast Daddy for like a week and then like screenshot all of it. But now I feel like I just wanted to see what you would say. I'd be like, no problem, Podcast Daddy. Can't wait to see you and just see how you reacted. But I know now that'd be bad.
Fucking science experiment?
I mean, yeah. I'm just in the morning. Welcome back. We're Got Bernard here. It's 6:55. Oh, I got Donald Trump here. Bernard, what we're doing is we're helping the sick kids out here. I just like helping the kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bernard, they're helpless.
The children.
Yeah, I put on the hat and I just say, Caden, why don't you get the hay for me, Caden? And Caden gets 7:04 after the hour. from 4 to 5. Is it true that Bill Clinton heard Bill Clinton is a little bit of trouble right now.
No way.
He's been off the air for like 15 years and it still just makes me laugh so hard.
Love the IMS voice.
I mean, for all my joking, my dad was super into IMS.
My mom was too, yeah. Art Bell. My mom loved Art Bell.
Really?
She really did.
No shit.
She's a wacko.
Wow.
All the weirdos would call up that show and Art Bell would indulge him. And
I don't know any shows like that.
Well, IMUS was still syndicated in 2018.
Wow, dude, can you imagine how unbelievably incoherent he must be now?
Don IMUS is not that old.
He's not that old. He's been on the radio since 68.
It's not that old. It's not like he's like Noam Chomsky, 90. Noam Chomsky is in arguably better shape than he is.
Well, I mean, I would say he's...
All right, we're going to stand for
no
IMUS now? Okay.
No, I, you know, I, I get some. I don't like IMS. I think. How do you do the theme song again?
Wow.
It's me and Mikey Meatballs over here.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't like that. Mikey Meatballs. What? There's an internal struggle going on now. I kind of like it, but I really don't like it. Oh, man.
I can't imagine why you wouldn't like such a endearing nickname.
It's not. It's really not.
Well, it's...
It really kind of sucks.
Boy.
Folks, we've been at this a while.
We have.
You don't see that behind the scenes.
You don't see the racially charged abuse that Mike... Woo! What?
Know what? No, I'm not starting over. Sorry. You get to own that now.
I've sabotaged it like 5 times.
You get to own that now, pal.
We'll talk about it after. This is what
boy.
We'll have to do.
Folks, I'm trying to go home, and Chris is obviously so lonely that he wants me to stay here. I'm fine.
Extremely.
He could just say,
yeah.
You could just say, Mike, I want
you
to...
Can you sleep over tonight, Mike?
No. Happy 2019.
Hey,
welcome to This Awful Podcast, episode number 23. Glad to be back with you for this year. And hey, maybe we'll make it to 2020.
I bet at least one of the hosts of this podcast will make it to 2020.
And if you want to take a bet on which host it would be, you can at us at This Awful Pod on Twitter, or you can send us an email. thisawfulpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call us at 1-833-SOYBOYS.
Okay.
Yeah. You were implying that one of us was unhealthy enough to not make it to the next year, which really is a kind of a toss-up, actually, to be quite honest. So,
it's really not, actually. I appreciate you saying that, but it's not. You know, you're like, oh, I'm gonna have a salad later, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking dig a dagger into my thigh later and just pour heroin into it.
Somehow
that's cool. You're
somehow,
doing that.
Somehow that adds 20 years onto your life. Meanwhile, I choke on a fucking crouton. Where would I get a salad at this hour?
This.
You know they don't sell them.
It's like, oh, motherfucker, where can I get a salad at this hour? It was like the whitest thing you've ever said, man.
Now people know I'm white.
Yeah. Oh, well, we blew it.
You blew it! Oh, folks.
Unbelievable.
Happy 2019. Welcome to the Zavo Podcast, episode number 23. Hard stop.
All right. Okay? 100th attempt at.
Hard stop.
Okay. Hard stop.
Now, if you say something problematic from here on out, I can easily cut it.
Michael, sweetie.
Yes, honey?
I have a big question. How was your weekend? How was your holidays? Did you...
I was sick.
You were sick for the holidays?
No place like sick for the holidays.
What happened, Mike?
I got a little cold.
Got a little cold?
Got a little cold. Still fighting it off. It's nasty.
Ooh.
Nasty cold. But
and you threw,
overall...
You threw your back out, huh? Well, how did that happen?
I sneezed. Why does everybody laugh? It's not funny.
I didn't know that. No, that's. Yeah. I thought it was...
I sneezed really hard. I was in the shower. And I sneeze, and I felt the sneeze coming on. I'm like, wow, this is going to be a big sneeze. And then I sneeze, and I like bent over at the same time because it's a big sneeze.
Yeah,
and
then, you got to get ready.
And then I heard the pop in my back, and I'm like, oh, this is going to hurt in a few minutes.
Oh,
and sure
my
enough,
God,
it did.
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
So is your back still an issue now?
Less so. Okay. It's gotten better over the past couple of days, but...
That's tough.
There's been a couple of days where I've had to sleep with muscle relaxers, which are delightful, by the way.
Yeah, that's not
delightful.
That sounds pretty cool, actually. That,
you have any muscle relaxers, by the way?
No,
it's fine. It's
I could not maintain a surplus of those. They go, I'll save these for when my muscles are aching.
What a joke. Anyway, so how was your holiday? Did you go home?
I found the holiday stressful. It was nice to see my family, but just the, I don't know, this year it just felt like all these things I had to do.
Shower, shave, shoes, pants.
Okay, all right, let's hear it.
What?
Yeah, what else do I not do? I'm not wearing any socks right now. Are you going to point that out?
No. Shopping, I've like...
Like coming up with gifts and like going up there and like honestly just like... Like I like my immediate family, but then when you have to like venture out into like my immediate family I feel always comfortable with, but then you're like... like your parents' friends who still think you're like 12.
Ooh, yeah, you never quite escape that.
Yeah, I really don't like that.
Oh, hey, Chrissy.
I hate that. Yeah, that. And I'm just.
She's like, well, so what have you been up to, Chrissy? Well, I've been tormenting a TV talk show host.
That's honestly the other thing. Is like, you know, I used to be like, oh, I don't know, like the Boston Globe is fine. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm stalking a Z-list talk show host for my podcast.
Chris, is anybody else rocking the shit like you are?
No one is rocking it quite as tightly as I am.
There you go.
But
see,
you
I'd say
can't
that's
really
living.
Explain that to that audience. I'm like, okay, well, I might seem like I woke up 4 hours ago and it's 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve, but check it out. Oh, Denise, where's your blue check mark? You have a blue check mark, Denise? All right, maybe sit the fuck down, Denise. Oh, really? Oh, do you have a retirement fund? That's interesting, because I have a blue check mark. No, a couple properties, huh? Okay.
Oh, you just use Twitter to read the news? Well, I told the President of the United States to suck the turds out of my ass.
Oh, that's great that you can provide for your family, quote unquote. What a neat little thing. Meanwhile, I'm out here on the front lines. I have to say the highlight of the holiday, though, was my girlfriend got me tickets for Christmas to see fucking Network.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about this.
Holy shit, that was one of the coolest things
that must have been awesome.
Ever seen. Bryan Cranston is a fucking psycho, dude. Like
he was the I'm mad as hell guy, right?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna take it anymore, yeah.
I had never seen that movie.
No, it's pretty good.
It was unbelievably prescient.
Wasn't there a movie recently about a news anchor? She shot herself in the head on live TV.
Yeah, there was a documentary. That was a real story.
Was it a documentary or was it like a movie like based on?
I remember being
something like
very disturbed.
Yeah. I'm thinking about who in the Trump administration I'd like to see do that kind of thing.
I would just want it to be one guy.
Yeah, which you know we won't mention because I don't want anybody showing up at my door.
If you are looking for some wet lips, you can hop on down to my door, Mr. FBI.
Yeah. Fat body inspector. You know, I like Bryan Cranston and everything he's in. Why are you laughing? I'm trying to move on.
I'm with the fat body inspectors, and I'm like, oh, come right in.
Sir, you've come to the right place. We got two of them right here.
So, just very briefly, folks outside of the Boston area might not know that Hitler's brain actually, when he died, it slithered out of his head and it crawled across the Atlantic. And it actually got inside of Boston Herald columnist's young head while she was in the womb. And you wouldn't expect it because it's Hitler's brain, but Hitler was so powerful that his brain could just kind of come out of his body and go find another host.
Big fan of the Herald.
Yeah. Loved the Herald.
Boy, did he have a pick of the litter of
Oh boy.
Of chuds to use as a host.
I would read toilet paper before the fucking Boston Herald. These bags of fucking goblin shit. They are absolute fucking trash. All these people who are out there, we need to be a two newspaper city, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we it's need fucking the Daily Stormer and the Boston Globe, or else we can't have a good city. That's a real and a normal opinion to have, that you shouldn't fucking murder yourself for having. It's fine and good. If we ever got a column in a major newspaper, we would get up and we'd be like, oh man, we have an important obligation to our readers today.
Yep.
We're in a position of privilege not afforded to many people.
Yep, true.
And we should focus our coverage accordingly and try to build up folks who do not have the access we do. Other columnists write columns like, Kevin Spacey's alleged teen target made rookie bar mistakes. Oh. Now, a lot of people are looking at this Kevin Spacey issue about him molesting a teenager. People are like, you know, Kevin Spacey should be arrested for, sexually assaulting a teenager. Now, you guys are running out there, you fucking mob psychos. They're like, oh my gosh, he's on video trying to get a teenager drunk and molesting him. Well, 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 dumbasses. Let me throw a little bit of logic fucking powder at your asses. Quoting the illustrious columnist Adriana Cohen, who is a coward and an idiot.
God, I would love to talk to her. I
hope you fucking eat shit. And you'll see why I think so after I read this. Parents teach their children, don't take candy from strangers. Fair point.
Okay. I was taught that, yes.
Flash forward to the club car in Nantucket.
Oh, boy.
That quote-unquote candy was whiskey.
Oh, boy.
And the stranger was Kevin Spacey.
Oh.
A creepy Hollywood actor with an alleged history of predation.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Heather Unroe's son, 18 at the time of the alleged assault, made, and I'm really not kidding, this, she's fucking seriously wrote this.
She actually wrote this.
Heather Unroe's son, 18 at the time of the alleged assault, made several rookie mistakes the night in question. And this is precisely why teenagers don't belong in bars.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
The real issue here. They don't have the life experience, referring to teenagers, or maturity necessary to understand the unwritten rules of the bar scene. This fucking woman is writing this. She's writing this. This isn't a bit we're doing.
She means this.
The first being, if someone offers to buy you a drink, you're still in platonic, quote-unquote, friend territory. But, and there's a big but here, if a man offers to buy you more than one drink, or several as Spacey did, he's sending you a strong signal he's romantically interested. After all, adults know there's no free lunch. So if someone's shelling out their money to buy you drinks, there's a reason. They're into you. Wow. He was an 18-year-old boy. People buy shit for him all the time. He's a little kid.
Imagine for a moment that Jenna Bush, 18 years old, was in a bar. And
hard for me to imagine that, but
somebody was buying her multiple drinks over and over and over again and got her drunk and sexually assaulted her. Do you think... How long do you think that person would be alive? That person probably would have been eviscerated ways from Sunday.
Well, they might have been murdered brutally and definitely not afforded the kind of big boy layups we got here.
She wouldn't necessarily have been blamed for being a rookie, making a rookie fucking mistake. Holy shit.
When you're an 18-year-old boy with your mom in a bar. After all, adults know there's no free lunch, so if someone is shelling out their money to buy you drinks, there's a reason. They're into you.
Wow, great.
The other unwritten bar rule is if a person accepts more than one drink from another, they're sending the signal back that they're also potentially interested on a romantic level, because the unspoken understanding is if the drinking duo were just friends, they'd be splitting the tab.
What?
How fucking awesome is that, dude? And like, on some level, like, yeah, okay, you're right. And then it's also like, okay, you're talking about like a 40-year-old fucking man and a fucking teenage boy.
Oh my fucking god.
Like, man, if only the teenage boy knew, like, oh, Mr. Spacey, I appreciate the first drink, but according to bar procedure, I should not accept a second drink. And I think that's the real reason I got raped and not fucking male entitlement or anything like
that. Oh my god.
Oh, there's more. Don't worry.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I know you were worried if more stuff happened.
Yeah, I was worried. Was that it? Or
I've been to plenty of bars in my day.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell everyone hearing this is like, has she even been to a bar? I feel like I wasn't questioning her proclivity for alcohol.
Yeah, I wasn't. There was no question.
Yeah, it didn't come up for me, but that's great.
Wow.
I've been to plenty of bars in my day, including the club car, as recently as last month for its annual Christmas stroll celebration.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. So if anyone says she's never been to a bar, maybe... Yep, the club car.
Well, you know, correction for you.
Have you seen her in the past month? Interesting. Going back to her writing, I can tell you that I don't accept a man buying me more than one drink because I don't want to leave them on. Oh, because you're an adult woman. This is the first rookie mistake by Unrose Kid, who didn't belong in the bar in the first place. He also failed to question why a decades older TV star like Spacey, estimated to be worth around $100 million, would want to hang out with him all night. This is insane. The street smart among us know that A, bars are pickup joints.
Oh.
B, when adults drink, they flirt and hit on other adults.
Whoa.
And C, they often get handsy, especially as the night progresses. Notwithstanding... Oh, you thought you... Well...
Comes the adult paragraph.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, you know, you think I'm going to be all pro-rape, but check it out. Notwithstanding, as a mother of teenagers myself, I can understand how a youngster could become starstruck and blind to all of the above. Many naive teens don't have the life experience to know how weird and unstable many celebrities are. And I want you to grip the coffee table as I read this to you, Mike. And that boatloads in Tinseltown suffer from a grab bag of demons that unsuspecting teenagers would be wise to stay away from.
Holy shit.
That said, this is where I turned inside out. So the last three sentences of it, you do not expect. It is just a ride. That said, I commend the Unroe family for courageously bringing this issue to light. So what the fuck is this article, guy?
What were those other five paragraphs?
She commends them for courageously bringing this, and your response to their courageous behavior is to be like, he's kind of a fucking pussy bitch, yeah. Actually.
He doesn't know shit about bars. I do.
And yeah, he's like, I men hit on me.
I drank beer.
And I lie, have you ever been drunk, sir?
You ever been groped? I've been groped in bars plenty of times.
Are you serious? Because literally the next line.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Go on.
Is innocuous touching in a bar is widely accepted.
What?
But groping without consent is not.
That's.
Some might argue it is very similar.
Yeah. Innocuous touching.
If the allegations prove true, Spacey should be held accountable.
Holy shit.
Not given special treatment, not afforded to the masses. So somehow she manages to ding Hollywood and also like the dumb fucking teenagers who get raped by the Hollywood demon she talks about.
The last sentence is fucking the home run.
Sending a hug to the Unroe family.
Sending a hug.
Mistakes made are lessons learned.
Yep, we can all learn a lesson from being touched and sexually assaulted by a celebrity and also being fucking gaslighted by a colonist. Yeah.
Mike, I just wanted to take a social moment for a minute.
Okay. We're going to get serious here?
A little bit. Adriana Cohen, you are a fucking moron. You don't... fuck you. You're a fucking idiot. You're an idiot. You're a fucking moron. Everything you write is trash. How do you even fucking live with yourself? You're not even a real person. You have no independent thoughts. You're a fucking idiot. You just couldn't help yourself. Do you know how many centrist fucking morons, dude, in this fucking town?
Oh, if we lose the Herald, what's gonna happen, Mike?
What Lyle Hutz thinks of when he thinks of a world without lawyers, that's what would happen without the Herald.
The number one comment on this article, how does one grope someone involuntarily for 3 minutes? This kid put himself into the situation by lying about his age, underage drinking, and trying to play the big shot when he met an actor. Now the family wants us to feel sorry for him. Number one comment.
You would think there would be more outrage, but no one really seemed to give a shit. I think my tweet went viral because I was the only guy who really fucking spelled it out. Boston Harold needs to eat my ass. I hope it burns to the ground. I could question for it. It won't be me, but I would love to be a suspect.
Well, speaking of torching things to the ground, onward and upward with this podcast.
Yes.
The main event today.
Oh,
is,
boy,
it's a good one.
It's a thing.
I was skeptical about it until you described it to me. Until you described what the potential was. No. Then I was like, oh, I'm all in.
It turns out my Twitter handle is Antifa Super Soldier, who's good with parents. And I've noticed, I've done a couple Antifa joke handles. And I'll get, like, lumped in with these mass tweets that are added at, like, Antifa New York City or Antifa San Francisco and Antifa LA. And it'll be, like, me. And none of them ever respond. But I'm like, oh, we're going to destroy you, bitch. I'm not even in Antifa, but... I get some weird shit, and Eric, I guess, wrote a very powerful, I would say powerful, Mike, wouldn't you say powerful, piece of poetry, and he added,
I'm moving. Yes.
I guess, every Antifa account he could find, including mine, and I said, Eric, first of all, wow, you know, just so humbling and powerful to hear a man talk about the world and the human condition around us in such stark and easily understood terms. And this might get a little heady for some of our listeners, but we really wanted to break him down. He's a serious poet, and we wanted him on the show. Hmm. We wanted to share what we thought was valuable about his work with all of you.
This is Eric Nelson Manley Shulman. This is my poem. I'm not Poppy. I'm not Poppy. You're not Poppy. No one wants to be Poppy. Even Poppy isn't Poppy. Even Poppy doesn't want to be Poppy. She's Titanic Sinclair's pixelated and animated art installation, slave, robot, puppet, voice, follower of his cult. Who makes fun of pop culture and celebrities? Who makes fun of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? By interviewing a plant and auto-tuning the plant's voice and having the plant say that it's voting for whichever is gay. She says she thinks they're both gay. Who does pointless videos on YouTube and absolutely nothing? For instance, her introduction video is her saying, I'm Poppy, and I am Poppy, for 10 minutes. She's a brainless robot. She's nothing to be worshipped as a goddess about. She's a lame woman making fun of everything, and followers eat her bullshit up. She's not an amateur at painting. Her art and music may be done by a small child. She's probably high on poppies and opium all of the time, which makes sense why she is the way she is. Don't let her fool you with her stupid antics. Say goodbye to Poppy and move on to more interesting and more important things. That's the end piece. Everyone have a great day. Hope you enjoyed my poem.
So here it is, Eric, a guy I met on Twitter who writes poems about Trump.
Yes. Enjoy.
Hey, Eric, man. How's it going, dude?
It's going good. How you guys doing?
Dude, we're doing great, Eric. Thank you for bearing with us while we kind of work through some technical shit. How
Sorry.
Are you doing tonight?
My fault.
Oh, it's all good. I'm not mad. That's cool. Shit happens. Like I said, man, I'm good.
I'm gonna start drawing the lines in the sand here a little bit. See how you feel about it.
Oh boy.
All right.
It's gonna get a little wild. So I hope everyone's ready. It's gonna get fucked up. So. Folks, the reason that Eric and I became acquainted was because you added like 16 Antifa accounts and you sent this poem, and I guess you wanted them to see it. So you sent that out. What kind of response did you get from that?
Well, actually, I didn't get nothing. I had a friend post it on Facebook. I'm actually banned and disabled from Facebook.
No way.
Controversial.
For what?
For edginess or what?
For talking for about edginess? Everything. Okay. I talked about crying, rape. I talked about all sorts of stuff.
Wait a minute.
I'm an instigator and a rabble rouser.
So crying rape, you said?
Yeah.
Yes, crying rape.
Oh, okay.
It's a controversial subject
on
Facebook. I think that a lot of women are using feminism and Me Too and Us Too and all these other movements in order to justify being dominated by a man. And they usually say, you know, their boss raped them for whatever reason or made a sexual allegation or whatever. So that's, you know, that's my personal opinion.
You know, that's funny because
Thing I was talking about.
I've had a lot of male bosses in my career that suddenly disappear. And maybe that explains some of it. I don't know. That's sort of a weird thing.
Yeah. I had a friend that I work with who was like, wow, talking to a coworker, he was like, oh, Rachel, you look really nice today. And he was fired. Deval Patrick called a special, not a national emergency because it was at the state level, but it was at the state level. He called it an emergency. And so all the TV shows had to show this guy getting his dick cut off.
Deval Patrick being the governor of Massachusetts.
It was really fucked up.
Serious. I remember that actually is one of the formative experiences of my childhood.
I was really surprised they didn't get more attention at the time.
Yeah.
Because they cut through all regular broadcasting just to see a guy's dick cut off.
It got covered up by you know who.
So. Yeah, dang. Yeah, so that's messed up. For real.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just being real with you.
So I got my friend to post on Facebook, yes, Trump, and he told me some people hated it, some people loved it, some people talked mad shit about it too. So yes, Trump is a response and as a chant to Antifa. As you probably already know, Antifa's chant is no Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA, right?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that from Antifa. Okay.
I don't think it's the official chant or anything, but I could see it being chanted at a rally like that, sure.
So I wrote, like I said, it's the opposite of them. And like I said, it's a chant, and I think it should be chanted again.
Okay.
And that's why I wrote it.
Like a point-counterpoint, kind of. Okay.
You're kind of throwing it back at him.
Yeah, it's counter-protest. Right, precisely. That's why I wrote it.
They're chanting dumb bullshit, and you're like, oh, you think that's dumb bullshit? Well, look at this shit, and you throw it at him.
Precisely. You throw it right back at him. Like, you haven't seen dumb bullshit yet.
Oh, you think you're a fucking moron? Yeah. Well, I wanted you... You were gracious enough after you sent the poem to me, and I was struck by it. You know, you sent it out to everybody.
It's true. I mean, Chris was IMing me about it and telling me about it.
I was like, look what this guy sent me. And are you cool with sharing the poem with our listeners who are probably degenerate Antifa morons? And
that's true.
Is that okay?
Of course.
Okay.
That's the reason I wrote a little bit.
Fire at will.
Yes, Trump is the name of the poem. Yes, Trump. No fascist Antifa USA. No socialist Antifa USA. No communist Antifa USA. No totalitarianism Antifa USA. No authoritarianism Antifa USA. No fake anarchist Antifa USA. No politically correctness Antifa USA. No anti-freedom of speech Antifa USA. No anti-gun activist Antifa USA. No butthurt crybabies Antifa USA.
Mm-hmm.
No safe space seekers Antifa USA. No third or fourth wave feminism Antifa USA. No open borders Antifa USA. No anti-white hatred Antifa USA. That's the end piece.
Wow. That's powerful stuff. As you were writing that, that must have come from a real, like just the pit of your stomach, like I don't, visceral.
I don't agree with Eric, obviously, but you can feel the visceral kind of.
Well, Chris, rage. We're all allowed to have different opinions in life, right? And this is a way that Eric expresses
and
it.
And beautifully through poetry expresses it. So.
Yep. The prose was good. Yes. The flow was good.
So tell me about writing that and why you wrote it. There must have been something where you were like, fuck the world around me. I'm going to sit down and write this poem. Mm-hmm. And after I'm done writing it, I'm going to send it to a bunch of Antifa, right? That's what, that's what I'm feeling like.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like a clairvoyant.
I watch a lot of Antifa videos and rallies on YouTube. Unfortunately,
do you ever watch any videos on Antifa?
Cannot go, huh?
Do you ever watch any videos on Antifa specifically, or not familiar with
Antifa? With who?
I believe it. Never mind.
No, I'm sorry.
I didn't hear you. Sorry.
No. That's all right. It wasn't important. Go ahead.
So I watch videos on Antifa on YouTube. I was just watching them. I was watching a bunch of that, and I just got fed up with Antifa. And I just thought, that they suck and that they're stupid and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And so these are actual things that I agree with in my poem, too. Okay. Yes, it is a chant that is anti-Antifa.
Sure.
I actually
appropriating the chant.
And you're going to hate me for it, too. But I actually did vote for Trump.
Yeah, we're going to keep it open.
And the reason I did.
We'll keep it open.
Because he was the underdog. And I was an anarchist for most of my life, and I didn't want another politician in there. So,
who's your favorite anarchist?
Who's your
favorite anarchist?
You said that you were
an anarchist.
I was an anarchist. Yeah,
for most of your childhood, right? So you must have a favorite.
I can't really think. I don't know exactly one. Sure.
Anyone who kind of pointed you to? Okay.
I mean, I got into Marx. Somewhat.
Okay.
And Lenin and existentialism as well.
Okay.
I don't have a favorite right off the top of my head. I mean, I became an anarchist because I wasn't into politics and I never got into them when I was a kid. And then whenever I was in the Navy, I became punk and goth and emo. And it was punk, goth, and clothing, emo. But also went to a lot of rock. Yeah, I also went to a bunch of rock concerts.
God, you must have loved good Charlotte.
And beat people up.
You must have been like the most popular guy in the Navy.
Yeah.
I would imagine. Punk, goth, somewhat, and emo.
That's the things that they love. Yeah.
I think when John McCain was in the Navy, he was a goth also.
Yeah.
I don't hate
John McCain.
That's well known.
He was a POW.
Sure, right. He was also in Bauhaus, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So Eric, I looked up your name online a little bit. Do you remember writing a poem called "They're Using Their Race Cards"? I bet that triggered a lot of people, didn't it?
Actually, I didn't really post that on too many places because everybody was going to think that it was racist. So
you anticipated them thinking it might be racist, huh?
Oh, I've already been called that. I got called that several times on Facebook.
Are you serious?
That's messed up.
White piece. Hang on. Let's see how. Bigot, racist.
Let's get it
piece
right.
Of white trash.
Did you have one more poem you wanted to read?
You ready for the poem, guys?
We are so ready.
Today's fascism.
Okay. This will be good.
Today's fascism. Fascism started as a rebellion against the government. Antifa started as a rebellion against the government. Fascism became an organized group with governing rule. Antifa became an organized group with rules. Fascism governs by violence. Antifa governs by violence. Fascism became pro-government by force. Antifa wants pro-government by force. Fascism is defined by Benito Mussolini and Giovanni Gentile. Fascism is defined by Antifa. Antifa is fascist by their definition.
Right.
Mussolini's and Gentile's definition. Fascism is alive and well through Antifa.
Chris, comment?
Well, first of all, powerful
that was
idea delivery through repetition.
Absolutely.
Which is an effective rhetorical tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it could really reinforce the point.
Yes. Sometimes you can overdo it, but I don't think you do it here. I guess...
Well, thank you.
Well, sure. I mean, my, I guess, perspective on it is, you know, Mussolini probably would have drawn and quartered anyone who said they were Antifa in 1930, right?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And that Hitler definitely murdered anyone who identified as a socialist or anyone who would have some kind of ideological border with Antifa, and including social Dems, hardcore communists, and Democrats and stuff like that. And that they all work together to stop fascism, and it is literally their name, anti-fascist. But in your mind, it is not Hitler or Mussolini who are the fascists that they were fighting, but in fact Antifa who are the fascists. And I'm sure you can understand the confusion, and maybe I'm being a little dickish in setting it up, but how the fuck is Antifa today's fascists when you have guys bursting into Pittsburgh synagogues and shooting them up? Are not today's fascists. Today's fascists are the fascists, and the Antifa folks are, you know, whether or not you agree with their tactics, I don't think you necessarily even have to acknowledge that they're not the real fascists who are fascists operating openly.
So... Antifa is anti-fascist. Yes, they hate fascists, and they don't want fascists to rule the U.S., like I mentioned in my poem. But I think that in order to fight against something, you have to make a definition of it first.
Okay.
And I think that they started off as a good group to some extent, and they were fighting fascism.
Mm-hmm. But
they went
the wrong.
Problem is, I think that their idea of fascism has like devolved into something that's not. Antifa hates Trump. I'm well aware of it.
Yeah.
But
because he's fascist,
they think that just because Trump is who he is, that means he's a fascist. So I disagree on their definition of fascism.
Okay.
And I think that, like I said, in order to fight something, you have to fight them like they are. That's where I got that comparison. So if I'm fighting a feminist, I mean, not physically fighting, but if I'm fighting a feminist, just talking to her, I have to get down on her level or his level, whatever. There's men and women feminists too.
That's so fucking ridiculous.
If I'm talking to
but
a
they
feminist,
exist.
Yeah. I was just being real, man.
Yeah, no, I
but
feel
anyways,
you, man.
if I'm talking to a feminist, I have to be on their level. Because otherwise, if you don't make them come, you know, turn around,
right,
or wake up, or anything like that, they gotta be comfortable with me.
Yeah,
like,
a lot of times I'll be talking
everybody.
To a fascist.
I don't give a shit, but,
I'll be talking to a feminist, and I'll be like, do you know what 2 + 2 =? And the feminist will be like, 7. Why don't you wash my dishes and change your freaking underwear, lady? Am I right?
Yeah. For real. I brought you tampons and my doll. Shut up.
Yeah, right, dude.
On the roof.
Yeah. if we were in another country, buddy, you'd be in real trouble. But,
oh,
you know,
shit,
it's a freaking...
Of course.
Thanks, yeah, thanks, Obama.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, hell yeah. So I got so angry, I forgot what we were talking about.
Yeah, you sort of dissociated there.
I did, yeah. I got
that was
so
actually scary for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do that, though. It's like a spirit's on the room or something.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes my status as a white man is so viciously attacked.
Yeah, fragile.
Kind of, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's fine that you hate women. I mean...
Yes, it's called chauvinism. And there's male chauvinism, too. And there's female chauvinism, too.
Mm-hmm.
It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. So. It does go both ways.
And then, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So why do you hate women so much?
What, I hate women so much?
Yeah,
well, where does the disdain come from?
I'm not even trying to be funny. I mean, you seem to be kind of just like they suck ass, so why do you hate them?
Yeah, well, they're not men.
That, I'm going
to agree
with you
there.
I would
say I am sexist to some extent, I'm not going
to
lie.
Some extent, it might seem.
You know, women can't do everything a man does. And the thing is, like, so I don't like... What I really don't like is third and fourth wave feminism. Okay.
I wanted to go back to fourth wave feminism because what is that? I didn't know
okay,
that
so,
existed.
Yeah, I'm not sure
third,
what that is.
Third and fourth wave, basically that means third and fourth generation. So
I know what the third wave is, but I don't... What's fourth okay. wave?
Yeah,
I've never
what
heard
is,
fourth
yeah.
wave.
Well, the fourth wave, actually, there were feminists, and I don't have the tweet, but I did see it, and it basically said something about, well, I want to bathe in white male's tears.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this was a sarcastic...
It's so hard to tell if that's
hatred
sarcastic.
For mankind or
yeah,
what.
Yeah.
Because like that'd be a lot of crying.
Yeah.
To do, and, you know, no guy I know cries that much.
And it's so weird because
except you.
No, it's just because no guys ever joke about not liking women or whatever. So the idea that someone would go on Twitter and just say like, "Oh, I want to bathe in male tears," which is a very, I think, plausible goal, something that would be engineering-wise very easy to do.
They're working on that.
Yeah, you could just be like, oh, that's probably what she literally means.
That's what
her politics are. Yeah, it does seem that way. So one thing I've seen that's popular among folks of my ilk, Eric, if I might be honest with you, is every now and then I'll see like a female friend, a fembot, if you will. She's got a little mug, and she'll be drinking whatever, like her alimony or whatever the fuck women drink. And it'll say on the mug, it'll say male tears on it. Now, I'm thinking that maybe the mug has whatever drink she put into it, but what do you think is in the mug? Do you think
That'd be fucked up if it weren't really male tears, though.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, well, it's like, this
that's
is a
right,
lie.
For real. That
this
would,
is a lie.
Yeah, that would be fucked up for
My
real.
Fucking sense is that it is actually male tears that's in the mug.
I think that she would do that, but...
Eric, I appreciate you talking with us and just letting your freak flag fly so hard. And to round it out, since you were so kind to share with us your poetry and stuff, I thought Mike and I might share a little of our own, right?
I mean, I'm not a poet by trade. I'm sort of lost in life, and I'm trying to find my way. I figure maybe poetry can help me.
And I'm a professional wrestler, and not a lot of people think that professional wrestlers can write poetry.
I would not think that.
Right, and I'm going to prove them wrong tonight.
Okay.
So they're going to see that a professional wrestler can write poetry.
All right.
And honestly, they're going to come off as edgy, and I want your honest opinion as like a fellow writer, because I think we've been chill, right? And
yeah, I think we've been cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds of writers writing different kinds of things, right?
I respect the craft. I know that not everybody can do this, and you know, if I can't do it, I want to know. Like, just like I said, constructive criticism is the best criticism, right?
I couldn't agree more.
So whenever you're ready, Chris.
This poem is called Eric.
Okay.
Eric, 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 with his wiener he can't play. Eric, 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 bad poetry he'll make. That's the...
What are you going for there?
I wanted people to know that I thought Eric was a bad poet.
Do you think that you conveyed it in those lines, or...
I'm not... I mean...
You didn't really reach deep for the flow was a little off, but...
If I could get a hyperlink in there to some of his poetry, that might be like kind of a high-class museum shit. Situation.
Okay, maybe we can work that in there.
Yeah.
Okay. I never do like the open mic stuff, and I'm just too embarrassed. So,
and we're so shy.
I'm very vulnerable here, so please be gentle, but be honest.
Be cool about it.
It's called The Wetness.
Great title, Michael.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, just please don't even look at me. Eric, 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 why are your pants so wet? Why does the wetness feel like a pet? Why does the pet make him fret? Why does he fret the wet pet that he met at the Met? Why is Eric corny? Is Eric just so horny? Because his wiener is so thorny. That's it. That's when everybody would snap.
Holy fucking shit.
Was it good? No, look, don't even fuck around with me, please. Tell me, was that good?
Did you seriously write that?
Wait, you think I just... Are you accusing me of plagiarism now?
Mike, because you're a guy that works with his hands. You're just not... You're not a writer, man. I've never seen you write... This is fucking intense.
Is that a joke about my missing middle finger?
Partly, that's really, it is, but I'm ableist. Also freaked out. I'm fucking freaked out.
All right.
I'm fucking freaked out that this was inside of you, and I had no fucking idea that this kind of fucking passion
I have feelings,
and vision was inside of you, Michael.
I have feelings.
God damn it, I'm so fucking proud of you tonight, man.
Thank you. Well, all right. It's getting a little uncomfortable now, so let's just go on.
Okay.
So the first one was funny and comical.
Funny?
And demeaning.
It was that, funny and comical.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was that
to me, it was funny.
Was that
and it was a little perverted.
Was that what you were going for?
Well, I wanted to kind of push the edges of acceptability. So, Eric, honestly, I appreciate your comment.
All right,
you're welcome.
Just trying to take it personally, I guess.
The second one was creative. You did have flow, and you did rhyme, and you told a story. It was definitely hardcore attack against me, of course. I'm your enemy.
I wouldn't say it's against you, but...
And that's fine and dandy. But, because I have enemies too, and I'm attacking people.
So. Do you feel attacked right now?
No.
Okay. I mean, I don't want you to
I was just being honest, that's all. No, it's not an attack. No, I was just telling you what I thought. You said you wanted to know.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, I mean, I don't want you to feel attacked necessarily, yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Chris, I didn't delete anything, but I did tighten up the spacing here.
I found it in an earlier draft.
Okay.
If Eric could be so kind to listen to...
he's captive. So.
Because, Mike, when I'm writing, I'm not really thinking of, the rhythm or the meter or the rhyming of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Poetry brings out the musicality of our language and the way we speak, and that's what's beautiful about it. So, to me... Well,
lay some beauty on me.
It's hard to achieve, but this is the best I could do.
All right.
Eric was a poet. Eric could not show it. Every time Antifa chants, Eric makes his poopy pants. So that's the... That's what I came up with.
That was good.
Any thoughts on that there, Eric? Or?
I think that was better than the first one. But
so you're improving. That's good.
Basically, I'm a bad poet, and I can't show it, and I shit myself a lot.
Well, not a lot, but when you hear Antifa chanting, you get a little poopy pants, right? Am I right?
Now these are highly theoretical situations. This is like
it's a character.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
it's not.
I mean,
yeah, they are character. No, I'm not saying me personally. I'm just saying I'm saying as a character. No.
Poem says Eric five times in three lines.
As the character tries to write, he always messes up.
Oh, but see, I felt like this was...
That's what I meant by that.
Well, I thought what was so artful about my poetry, if I may be so self-indulgent, was that I kind of singled you out and said you were a bitch.
Yeah. Or a crybaby or a bitch, yeah.
And that you were, possibly crapping your pants because of Antifa.
And because a woman looked at me, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Mike, you got anything for us?
So, I mean, after analyzing some of... I got some inspiration from Eric, actually, from Eric's poetry. There was a very versatile mix of, Dr. Seuss in there.
Yeah. Richard Scarry.
So, I call this poem Grief, because we all experience grief, and, I was really just in a deep, dark place when I wrote this. So, again, don't judge me. I'm not a professional like Eric. So, this poem's called Grief. I woke up today, my back hurt, my feet hurt, my head hurt, my hurt hurt. It's a deep line.
Holy.
Hurty, hurt, hurt, McHurt. Poems are cool. They don't make me drool. Drooling is dumb. It makes me numb. It's not as good as a plum. Does anyone like plums? Plums are dumb. Dum-dums are dumb. This poem is not dumb. Is it? Why? Why is it dumb? Do you want to fight me? Are you threatening me? Are you a fucking cop? No, seriously, are you a cop? Because this is a third strike for me. Can't go back to jail. If I go back to jail, I won't be able to handle myself. I might have to choke a bitch. I don't know what the parole officer will say or if they'll take kindly to that then I won't be able to work at the daycare with the children.
Mike, maybe let's not jeopardize your employment.
You're fucking
situation.
Up the creative flow.
Yeah, well.
Okay, all right,
Mike
sorry.
Kind of forgets fine, where he is
fine.
Sometimes.
Right. Well, you know what? Forget it. Forget the poetry thing.
We're not jerking off on a biscuit right now, okay? We're on the podcast.
I thought the poem was pretty good so far.
Mm.
Well, thank
and
you.
It's got rhyme and rhythm.
Eric approved.
And, yeah.
That means a lot to me, man.
You're welcome.
So, Eric, like, we were trying to kind of make you a little angry with these, and you seem completely unperturbed. And I'm curious, when you go out and you read these poems, because I looked into your website a little bit, and you go out and you do readings and stuff in public, right?
Yes, I do.
Do folks ever get, like, angry with you about it, or are most people just kind
of course.
Really? Okay.
Most people don't like my poetry.
That's the bravest
kind
of poetry.
Like I said earlier, I'm not here to live for anyone, and I'm not here to write for anyone. So.
You just do it for yourself.
And I write for me, and I write for anybody that can comprehend me.
It reminds me of, like, old-school Def Jam comedy at the Apollo. That's the vibe I get from that, yeah.
I could totally see you fitting in there, actually.
That's funny. Yeah.
So what's next for Eric? What's coming up?
What's next? What's next for you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be re-editing and revising my first three books as soon as possible, and I'm going to be printing them through a printing press instead of going through the publisher and getting screwed over again.
Okay.
So I'm going to be doing that, and then I'm going to get my fourth and fifth books published my sixth book, then I'm going to publish my seventh book, which I'm working on right now.
Prolific.
Zombified Religious Leaders and Cult Leaders and Founders.
You know, you get out of bed, you sit your bum on the old computer
language.
Desk. Sorry, Michael. And you whip out the word processor and you're like, black skulls are different than white skulls. Like, what makes you sit down and just write?
Well, yeah. I believe that you don't need inspiration to write, and I believe that I'm my own muse, like, and I can be sitting anywhere and actually write at any given time. Basically, I am commentating the world around me right now, and then, of course, like I said, with my zombie poems, to me, they're just funny because they're blasphemous and they're sacrilegious, and to me, that's funny. Because I am turning something sacred into profane, and to me that's really funny. So,
very alarmed at the crossover between Eric and I's own.
there's a very big crossover between your aesthetic and Chris's aesthetic that's sort of blowing Chris's mind right now a little bit.
I'm very uncomfortable
right
now.
We have
to retool the podcast after this.
Kind of went to the bathroom in his seat there. So you're going to publish your books, a couple people buy it, then what?
You should maybe join Antifa in a way.
So I'm not joining Antifa. I'm not joining anybody. It's me versus the world.
Okay, and what if...
that's the way it is.
All right, Mike, can we just stop recording for a second?
Okay.
What if I offered you a $200 gift card to Lowe's if you joined Antifa right now?
Wait, the one George Soros gave you? Oh, all right, sorry.
$200 to Lowe's, that's like, what do you get? You get a snowblower out of that?
You could buy a lot of Confederate
stuff.
You
could, oh my goodness, great. You could get some fucking mailbox. You could be the fanciest mailbox in your neighborhood. $200. All I need you to say is Antifa is good.
Maybe you could buy a stove and make those fourth wave feminists use
hello,
it.
Hello,
right?
Yeah. So.
No, I'm not joining Antifa.
Why not?
You can't pay me enough money and.
We're not even on the air right now, bro. This is totally off. It's $200.
Your recruitment speech didn't work, Chris, so I'm going to start the recording
Mike,
again.
Shut the fuck up, okay?
Oh, sorry. God, is that rage again?
Anyway, we really want to invite you, Antifa. I think you'll really like it. It's $200 to Lowe's, and you can use that on a bird bath or plants or anything. And anytime Ben Shapiro comes to town, we behead a bunch of small business owners. And that's all it really is. So take the $200 and maybe join Antifa. What do you think?
Eric, this is coming from a high-ranking official in Antifa.
Yeah,
I think it's sort of hard to turn down, honestly.
You know in The Godfather, where they're like, it's an offer that you're not supposed to refuse and that sort of thing?
It's an offer that would be very good for you.
Right, it would be an offer that sounds like a slam dunk, I think is the exact
quote. That's what De Niro said in that movie.
So, what I'm saying is, Eric, we have a nice little gift package if you join Antifa. I feel like we've been very clear and very honest and very nice to you, and you're not joining Antifa. That makes me a little upset.
Eric, he's going to catch a beating if he doesn't recruit his quota by the end of the month.
Why don't we figure this question out again? Are you fucking joining Antifa or not?
No, I'm not.
Oh, no.
I'm not joining anybody.
He's not joining Antifa. Oh.
I'm not joining Antifa. I'm not joining anybody.
Like I give a shit, bitch!
I've already said I'm not.
What the fuck, Eric?
You know, it's too bad because you're
That's fucked up. We
put you on the rolls.
We already put you in the rolls, dude. You're in. Like, we need this shit.
Can you do like a 30-day trial maybe? Or
just give it a taste. Just see how it feels. Do you know what pansexuality is?
What?
Do you know what pansexuality is, Eric?
Pansexuality?
Oh, yeah.
Vaguely.
Well, dude, if you join Antifa right now, starting at the low, low cost of $19.99, I can guarantee you a polyamorous, polysexual relationship guaranteed by Antifa bylaws every 2 weeks. You would be having sex with a different anarchist lady every 2 weeks. Now, is anything on the right offering you that kind of reliability? Because I don't think they are, Mike. Is that a deal you've heard of, Mike? Because personally, I feel like I watch this stuff a lot. I haven't heard of a deal like this.
That is insane.
It's a wild deal, Eric, and I think it's something you might want to consider.
But wait, there's more. What's it going to take, Eric, to get you into this ass?
Let's do it. Let's just have it, Eric. What's the deal breaker, buddy? I need to know. Because you're not hanging out tonight without joining Antifa, so I'm going to need to know. Yeah. What is it going to be?
I'm not joining Antifa, guys. I'm sorry.
We'll tell it to them.
You did. Too bad you did. We've already tweeted Donald Trump. We've tweeted...
FBI.
FBI. We tweeted Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
Rand
Paul.
Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
And we said...
James Woods.
He was the most disappointed.
He was so upset.
Yeah.
He was like, Eric, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, bitch. Yeah. Sorry. And that's the funny thing is because you wrote all these poems about how you hate Antifa and now you're a member of it. It's just so 2019 that something like that would happen. Am I right, Eric?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you just come right now
or what's going on?
I'm getting pretty tired. I got to be up really early.
To go to the Antifa orientation.
You're where coming. I'm gonna mark you down.
Yeah. I mean, you laugh,
Eric.
Right now.
If you're not there, we're out $10,000. So
yeah, and that's not gonna go over well with George. So Eric, can I count on your donation today?
Nope, I'm not donating.
What the fuck, Eric? We've been on the phone for a while. We're good friends.
Right, I gotta go for real.
Where do you have to go, Eric? You don't have to go anywhere. You are a liar, sir. You made a commitment to Antifa, sir, and you better adhere to it, or you are gonna hear from our freaking debt collectors, buddy. Eric, you have a job that you have to get to tomorrow?
Yes, I have a job. Yeah.
Now, your job is Antifa. Now.
Exactly.
We already called your employer, and we've said Eric is not going to show up now because he's on Antifa's payroll now.
Eric, feel like your silence indicates we can see you tomorrow.
We can count on it. So,
yeah.
All right, good, good.
Feel like that.
Yeah.
Terrified silence.
Wear your best shorts, and we will see you bright and early tomorrow. I mean, you laugh.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I know that, you know, we're the opposite. I really do gotta go to sleep.
We're the same now.
Yeah, we're on the same page actually.
We're not different. You're one of us.
All right, great. Thank you, Eric.
All right, see you in the morning.
See you tomorrow.
I like cheese sandwiches. So if you could bring an extra one, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and if you could bring a bunch of fucking incredibly bad poems, that'd be great too.
Yeah,
Eric, thanks for joining Antifa.
Your package is in the mail.
You guys have a good night.
Oh yeah, hey you too.
You too. Yeah,
bright and early in the morning.
Yeah, welcome to the front lines, bitch.
Yep.
You should breathe heavier. Good night, man.
All right, later.
All right, good night.
Well, that went sideways. So, Eric.
So, Eric,
What a cool guy.
Normal, cool guy.
Totally normal.
Fellow man of letters.
Couldn't tell if we were making him sad or not, actually.
He seemed a little frustrated at the
end. Well, you know, I mean, we were trying to recruit him, but...
Yeah, I mean, we weren't trying to recruit him. You know, he is recruited.
He is, yeah.
So
let it be known from here on out that Eric is part of Antifa.
And Eric, just so that you know, well, the IRS will be receiving a number of tax documents, as you will as well, regarding your membership of Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the FBI is also going to be kind of...
Oh, yeah. We're good pals with them.
Yeah, we're big Mueller fans.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
On the pod, so...
Oh, yeah.
Hope to see more of you soon, Eric.
Yeah. Around the LaCroix cooler.
Yeah, where Mike and I hang out.
Totally.
At the Antifa
headquarters. Totally. Totally.
And we're like, oh, did you guys see freaking the taxi rerun on Nick and Knight last night? And you're like, so Chris, it's...
random.
Not 1996, buddy. When no one watched Nick and Knight last night. And we're like, oh, no. That's weird. And then I'll probably just fucking die, actually.
Fucking die, huh?
Yeah. All right. This is better than dying.
I prefer you didn't die.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, sure. Well, I need somebody to help me pay for the domain renewal.
Yeah.
So.
And you won't have a studio, so.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
This I can cool still get, I can still get in. It's fine. Yeah. I can climb through a window. That's fine. Anyway.
You can climb through a bimbo. Mike looks so upset. I knew he would be.
Not upset. I'm just confused.
It's upsetting you makes me happy.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So. Is this. Are we online right now?
What are you talking about? We
are
online.
Are we online?
Yeah. You've got mail.
Is this AOL right now?
Yep.
We're America Online right now?
Yeah. No, we're on CompuServe now. We've regressed. Now we're on Prodigy.
Uh-oh. Now we're on
Netscape Navigator.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. We're on Earthlink. if anyone wants to check us out.
Damn. GeoCities, huh? All right. Anyway, at This Awful Podcast, or at This Awful Pod.
Yeah.
ThisAwfulPodcast@gmail.com. I'm at Slush This Is Not Mike G.
I'm at Chris Caesar, but don't follow me, because I'm too tough for you.
Don't at me, bro.
Bitch. You're not going to be able to handle it.
All right. And we will be coming back at you in hopefully like a week or so.
Yeah.
So take it easy.
Peace,
don't,
Mike.
Don't
dudes.
Do anything we wouldn't do.
I hope you're good.
Oh, I'm good.
And basically, I'm a bad poet, and I can't show it, and I shit myself a lot.